We're doing Yeshayahu. We're picking up in what's called the ninth chapter, the seventh pasuk. And the Navi says, Davar shalach Adonai b'Yaakov v'nafal b'Yisrael. Hashem says, He has sent a prophecy about Jacob, the prophecy of the downfall of Pekach ben Remaliyahu, and from herein it will start happening throughout Israel, the downfall of their kingdom. So the Navi is telling them, I want you to know, you're going to see a downturn in the state of affairs in the northern 10 tribes. Don't think it's a coincidence. It's starting now. I prophesied it'll happen, and now it's going to start. Some of the people were exiled. The exile happened in stages. First the tribe of Zebulun, then Naphtali, the northern small tribes, and then the tribes on the eastern side of the Jordan, and then finally the exile was en masse. But the Navi is telling them, you'll see how things will start happening, and this is the direct result of this prophecy. Let the nation as a whole recognize Ephraim v'Yoshev Shomeron, be it the large kingdom of Ephraim, be it those living in the capital Samaria, Shomron. Shomron was a mountain. They named the mountain after an idol. There was an idol named Shemer, and they named the mountain after the idol Shemer. So they called it Shomeron. But really, Shomeron means the mountain of the idol Shemer. At any rate, that was their capital. So Hashem said, let all those who remain recognize that this is my doing, Hashem says. Begava uvgodel levav leimor. The remnants are speaking in arrogance. They speak in pride and say, Levenim nafalu v'gazit nivneh. They say, who cares if our bricks have fallen? We'll build beautiful refined stone instead. Shikmim gudahu. Who cares if our shikma, which is a type of fig tree, is uprooted? Va'arazim nachlif. We'll exchange it with tall cedar trees. As if to say, what do we care if Hashem has started bringing destruction on us? We'll just build a better country here. Vaisagev Adonai et tzarei ritzin alav. Hashem says, you assume you have strength because you've united with Ritzin, the Aramean king. And Hashem says, I have strengthened the enemies of Ritzin, and you will find that Ritzin, who you are relying upon, will fall. Ve'et oyevav yisachsech. And so the enemies of Hashem, which are the wicked people of Israel, Hashem will cause them confusion. Until now they're so confident in their peace treaty with Ritzin, and they assume that nothing can take them down. Hashem says, I'll bring confusion upon them. Aram Mikedim. The Arameans on the east, which was, a different type of Arameans, they harmed them. Uflishtim me'achor, and the Philistines attacked on the west. Vayochelu et Yisrael b'chol peh. In every side, the Jews will find themselves attacked. B'chol peh could also be understood as they fill their cravings from our assets. They come in, they do some terrorist attacks, they take what they want, and they flee. So that vayochelu et Yisrael b'chol peh, they've consumed from Israel and satiated their cravings. B'chol zot lo shav apo ve'od yado netuya. And Hashem says, this isn't the end. This isn't the final punishment. Hashem's hand is still outstretched to continue punishing. Ve'am lo shav adam hakeyu. And the nation refuses to repent and return to Hashem, who is the source of their beatings. Ve'et Adonai Tzevaot lo darashu, and they refuse to seek out Hashem, who controls the armies. Vayachet Adonai mi Yisrael, Rosh v'zanav, kippah v'agmon, yom echad. Hashem says, in one day, Hashem will destroy Rosh, the head, the most important, v'zanav, and the tail, the least important of the citizens. Kippah is like a branch. Ve'agmon, and that's a pit within which the trees grow. So the Navi is comparing the different nobles to either a kippah, a beautiful branch, and the agmon is the little branch that grows in water. It's some kind of little weed. Not the pit, I'm sorry. A little type of... what's it called in English? I think it's gum Arabic. I think that's what they call gum Arabic. A type of plant that's little and grows on water. So Hashem says the different extremities, the top nobles, the smallest nobles, the leaders, the simplest citizens, all of them will be uprooted in one day. Zakenun sufanim hu harosh. The elder who everyone looks up to, he will be the first to be cut down. And the prophet who lies, he is who I refer to as the tail. The elders are what I call the head. The false prophets are what I call the tail. All of them are going to be cut down on that one day. The guides of this nation are misleading them. And those who they think are straight, those who they think should lead, they are mevulaim. They are themselves corrupt. So the nation is being led by corrupt people, people who are misleading them, and so the nation is being led astray. False prophets keep promising them that redemption is just around the corner. A better tomorrow is about to shine. It's not true, Hashem says. A worse tomorrow is about to gloom.
Yesh Atid.
Yesh Atid. Yeah, Hashem says, no, I'm telling you what that Atid holds for you. And the fact that people are so hopeful without thinking they have to do something to make it better, they don't think they have to fix their society. They think they could leave all the corrupt leaders, all the cheaters and lies and thieves that are running the country. And Hashem says, no. If this is the situation, if the nation continues in their decrepit ways, then destruction is on its way and it's already starting. Al ken al bachurav lo yismach Adonai. And because of this, Hashem says, and in a second Hashem will say why. Al ken, very often in Tanakh and in prayer, is referencing the end of the sentence. Because of this, Hashem isn't happy with his young men. Ordinarily, when a person's younger, so he has less sins, he's more positive. No, Hashem says, I'm not happy with the young men. Ve'et yitomav, ve'et almenotav lo yirachem. Nor does Hashem have mercy over the widows or the orphans. Why? Ki chulo chaneif u'meira. Because all of them are practicing sycophancy. Everyone's trying to show a smile to the wicked. No one's standing up to them. Everyone just tries to sweet talk them. Hashem says, then you're accomplices to the crime. Why is it that Hashem has no happiness with the youngsters, no mercy over the widows and orphans? Because they're all practicing chaneif u'meira. They're accomplices to evil when they don't stand up against it. V'chol peh dover nevala, and every mouth speaks foully. B'chol zot lo shav apo ve'od yado netuya. And after the widows and orphans don't merit to have any mercy, Hashem says, I'm not done yet. The hand is still outstretched to continue punishing. And here we have to see a scary Gemara about this pasuk. Let's see if we have here the Gemara. Gemara. Gemara says the following. Says, person has to be careful somewhere. I'm not finding it now. Okay. Okay, it's a Gemara in Shabbos too. I'm not finding it here. Gemara says, "Ba'avon nivlut pe." Over the sin of nivlut pe, speaking foully, speaking dirty. Tzarot rabot v'gzerot kashot mitchadshot. There's a renewal of great affliction, horrible decrees. Uvachurei sonei Yisrael metim yitom metim. And the youngsters, he doesn't want to say our youngsters, so he says the youngsters of our enemies. But you understand, he's not really talking about our enemies, he just doesn't want to say it about us. But really, that's what he's talking about. They die. People don't live to an old age. Yitomim v'almanot tzokin v'einan ha'anin. Widows, orphans, they cry and their prayers go unanswered. Shneimar is the verse says, our verse, Al ken al bachurav lo yismach Hashem. Hashem says, I will not have happiness with the youngsters. The youngsters, on the contrary, will be a source of mourning as they will die young. Ve'et yitomav ve'et alminotav lo yirachem. Hashem says, He will show no compassion for the orphans and widows. Ki yuchulo chanef umira ve'chol pe dover nevala. Because they are all practicing sycophancy, they're accomplices to evil, and they speak foully. So foul language, and foul language over here doesn't mean swearing. It means talking dirty. It means talking about things that one should be modest. So the Gemara asks, what's an example of nivul peh? Answers the Gemara, Hakol yodin kala lema nichnesa lechupa. Everyone knows what's going to happen the night when a couple gets married. Everyone knows what they're going to do that night when they go home, right? But whoever speaks about it, that's called foul language. That's called nivul peh. One who speaks about things that should be modest, and he speaks about them openly. So he's dirtying his mouth, and then afilu chotmim lo alav gzardin shashimim shana letuva. Even if in heavens, they already declared he should have 70 years of blessing. It's already been written. But then he speaks foully, hofchin alav lera, then it turns for the worse. And the Gemara continues and gives many quotes about how severe the punishment is for foul language. So we all think, what's the big deal? I just said a dirty joke. What's the big deal? He said this, that, or the other thing. No, the Gemara took it very seriously. The Navi took it very seriously. You see that the Navi says the bottom line is from our pasuk, what's the great cause of such suffering? Chol pe dover nevala. Because everyone's talking foully.
Where is this name?
Shabbos Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph. It's easy to remember. Because that's the page where the story of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Like Lag BaOmer, Lamed Gimel. So this is Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, the beginning of Lamed Gimel.
What's it in English?
Tractate Shabbat, the 33rd page. The bottom of the first side of the page. So this is a scary Gemara. The Gemara gives a tremendous warning, tremendous weight to this concept of being careful not to speak about things that we should be modest about. You find that throughout the Hebrew language, in real Hebrew, there is no word to speak about copulation. We call it tashmish amita, the use of the bed. How do you refer to the male gonad? So the male organ, not the gonads. The male, even the gonads. What are they called? Beitzim, eggs. What's the male organ called? The aver, the limb. Doesn't say which one. In real Hebrew, in biblical Hebrew, every word that we should be modest about has a different, has a euphemism. When it says King Saul went to the bathroom, it says he went lehasech et raglav, to pour out his feet. It wasn't his feet. There's the aperture between his feet, but they're not. It doesn't say that. When it discusses Yaakov's children, it says yotzei yerach Yaakov, the descendants of his thigh. Doesn't say where they were. When Avram calls Eliezer and says, "Put your hand on the one mitzvah I have, the bris milah," he says, "Simnaya decha tachat yirichi." Put your hand under my thigh. He doesn't tell him. It doesn't say where he should put his hand.
So he wouldn't put his hand on his thigh, right? Because it's under his thigh, which the thigh is a euphemism.
Okay. No, according to some of the commentaries, he put his hand on his bris milah. He didn't put his hand on a. That was their way of making a pact. You see again and again, the Torah is careful. What do we call a bathroom? Beis HaKise, the house with a chair. What type of house only has a chair? Yeah, that's a euphemism. Beit HaKavod, Beit HaMayim. Euphemisms. The Torah and the Tanakh and Chazal are filled with euphemisms. What does it say? What's going to cause certain things? It says, Davar Acher, the other thing. It doesn't say what. So sometimes the other thing could be a pig. Sometimes the other thing can be a tashmish amita. Throughout, you'll see it time and again and again. When Rachel wants to say she's menstruating, what does she say? Ki derech nashim li. I have the way of the women. She doesn't say what she has. A euphemism. Again and again, you'll see it throughout the Tanakh. The Tanakh is very careful not to use foul language. Anything that should be modest isn't said overtly. Now, the exception is sometimes you have to explain what you want someone to do, right? So sometimes if you're not going to say it using the exact wording, so they're never going to understand what you want of them. So the Talmud says, when you're trying to teach something, so then if you have to use any language you have to use to get them to understand it right, you use. That's part of education. But whenever we can avoid it, we don't use direct language, but rather we use euphemisms.